There's an exciting new therapy that's being used on people with lymphoma, and we'll be talking about it with our next guest today, Larry Mueller here. My guest, Dr. Christian Capitini, in the studio with me, a physician with UW Health, a board certified in pediatric hematology oncology. He's also an assistant professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Capitini was involved in clinical trials that helped develop a treatment for children with leukemia. You may have lymphoma and have a loved one who has lymphoma. What questions do you have about this new treatment? What do you want to know about using this treatment for leukemia? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And Dr. Christian Capitini, welcome. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about this new therapy we've got for people with lymphoma.
Yeah, this is called CAR T-cell therapy. It stands for chimeric antigen receptor. This is a form of immunotherapy. Basically, what's involved is we take T-cells outside of a patient. T-cells are the cells in our body that help fight viral infections and help fight cancer. And we genetically program them to recognize and kill their cancer.
Wow. that's amazing. Who are the candidates for this kind of therapy?
Typically, these are patients who have failed frontline therapy. So we call that either refractory, meaning the chemo is insensitive, or relapsed, meaning they went into a remission and then it came back.
And so why wouldn't you just use this right off the bat? Why wouldn't this be the first mode of attack?
I think that you're showing that you're ahead of your time. I think that's where the field is going. You know, typically when new drugs are developed, or even cell therapies like this, you try them in people who have exhausted all standard options. So that's sort of how therapies are developed. But I think the big question you're asking is, what role is this having up front? And we'll be able to answer that in the next few years.
That's great. I imagine, as with everything else, there other treatments, there are side effects. What tell us about those.
Yeah, we see very unique side effects with this type of therapy, unlike that we've seen with drugs before. With this therapy, it basically is, you know, making a hyperactive immune cell. And so when the immune cell recognizes its target and kills in such a dramatic capacity, unfortunately, it sends off a signal to the body that it's very inflamed. And we see something called cytokine release syndrome. Cytokines are kind of like liquid emails that the body cells, release,
yeah,
that alert the other cells in the body that there's inflammation, meaning that there's cells being attacked and killed. These levels can manifest as simply as a fever, fatigue, some body aches. But in some proportion of patients, it can become life-threatening with dangerously low blood pressures and the need for a ventilator.
So there could be some heavy side effects from this.
That's correct.
But the alternative...
Right.
What have the outcomes been so far?
You know, for lymphoma, it's been pretty good. Response rates, depending on the trial that you look at, have been anywhere between 50% to almost 75%.
Wow.
Which is really great because, again, these are relapsed and refractory patients. And then there's also some durability. So typically when you give chemotherapy, you do get a response, but it's not durable, meaning you have to do something else. And up until this therapy was around, the only option you had was autologous stem cell transplant, meaning freezing cells from your bone marrow called stem cells in a freezer, getting you in a remission, and then giving you these cells back to rescue your bone marrow. With this type of therapy, you may not have to give anything else for a proportion of patients. This could be their definitive therapy.
And that's big. Kate in Menasha has something for us. Let's go there. Kate, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. I just heard a bit of what you were saying, Doctor, and I might have a little bit of confusion about my friend's situation. I have a very dear friend with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which I think you called, relapsed or recurring after initial chemotherapy. And he and his wife, he went through, I believe, CAR T-cell, which through Frederick, which involved heavy doses of chemo, extraction of bone marrow, you know, and reintroduction of those bone marrow, those immune cells. He's actually not doing well, and his body is not able to apparently retain any white blood cells. And I wondered what causes that, if that is a potential risk for this treatment, and what does a patient do about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are always tricky situations, because when you've been treated with a lot of chemo, as you can imagine, it takes a toll on your bone marrow, and it gets harder and harder for it to recover with subsequent treatments. For patients who have low bone marrow like that, they're at very high risk of infections. And CAR T cell, you know, for those patients is quite a challenge, because you need to have a certain number of white blood cells around to manufacture those cells into CAR T cells. So for that situation, you know, it's just you need time. And sometimes it's giving doses of chemo that don't suppress the bone marrow but can control the lymphoma and keep it in check until the patient's bone marrow can heal and then go back to fighting infections and then having enough cells to do another CAR T cell therapy.
So it sounds like he did have a CAR T cell therapy to you. Yeah.
I believe so, yeah. Mm-hmm. So can I ask, is it reasonable that over time, if he can maintain health, that his immune system, his bone marrow, will regain the ability to construct an immune system, or is that just sort of a pipe dream?
No, it happens. You know, the low white blood cells is a complication of the chemo we give prior to the CAR T cell therapy, and it just takes, you know, time, sometimes 4 to 6 weeks even, for those cells to come back. As long as the CAR cells are controlling the cancer, you're good. If the CAR cells are not controlling the cancer, again, you'd have to give, you know, kind of low doses of chemotherapy to keep things in check so that bone marrow has time to heal. But really, time is all he needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There. All right. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Dean in Viola emailed to say that about 3 years ago, he was diagnosed with stage 4 follicular lymphoma. He went through chemo, which reduced the tumors, but didn't remove them. He has a scan on Friday, and he's afraid it might be back since you don't get rid of this lymphoma. Might the new treatment be available with his provider in La Crosse?
Right now, the FDA has asked that this type of very new and exciting therapy only be given at certified hospitals around the U.S., The reason for that is because of the toxicities we talked about earlier, like cytokine release syndrome, require complex care, including a very sophisticated ICU or intensive care unit. And they right now are just having it at sites that offer bone marrow transplants, because those sites have the infrastructure to handle cell therapies. So I don't think it would be available at La Crosse, but certainly in Madison and Milwaukee.
Would be available in Madison and Milwaukee, any place else. I'm trying to think if there's any place else in Wisconsin. Those would be the two.
Those are the two big bone marrow transplant centers.
Okay. Thanks very much for that comment. And could someone like him inquire, visit, whatever?
Absolutely. I know at UW-Madison we have both a phone number as well as on our webpage an ability to for a patient to initiate a referral or even just a second opinion. And then based on where they live, we can, you know, help them get to the closest center to get the therapy.
So if that person were to go online to UW Hospitals, then where would
you? UWHealth.org. They should be able to, you know, click their way to the cancer center and then find a link there to refer patients.
You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. You've been researching on this for a while now. Talk about that whole process.
Yeah, sure. Our involvement initially came as part of a pediatric cancer dream team. So UW-Madison is one of 8 sites in the country that were selected by a foundation called Stand Up to Cancer, which was started by Katie Couric. as well as St. Baldrick's Foundation, which is a childhood cancer charity. They assemble a dream team of 8 centers that are going to do cutting-edge immunotherapy for childhood cancers. And we were fortunate to be part of that team. And as part of that, we initiated a clinical trial giving CAR T cells to children with leukemia, as you mentioned. And we were one of 13 sites in the U.S. to offer this. It was the first time CAR T cells have ever been given at more than one institution. And as part of that trial, as well as involvement in an international trial with about 26 sites, that led to CAR T cells being FDA approved in August of last year for childhood leukemia. And then a separate study was done in adults, as you mentioned, with lymphoma, which was FDA approved in October. So it's been an exciting last 6 months.
Oh, it certainly has. And the American Family Children's Hospital, that's part of the involvement, right?
That's right. We had patients on the pediatric trial that led to the approval. And now our adult hospital is going to be involved in prescribing the FDA-approved product, and then we'll be involved in future clinical trials.
Really cool. And we've got more to talk about with our guest today, Dr. Christian Capitini, UW Health Board certified in pediatric hematology and oncology. We'll take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back to answer your questions. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking to Dr. Christian Capitini today about lymphoma and the use of T cells to combat lymphoma and childhood leukemia. Dr. Capitini is a physician with UW Health, board certified in pediatric hematology oncology. He's also an assistant professor in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. So, what would you like to know about lymphoma and this new therapy? Excuse me. Have you benefited from this treatment, maybe? Join the conversation. Give a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page as well. And you know what? We're going to go right to the phones here. And Dan in Milwaukee, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm 79 years old. I have just been diagnosed with hemolytic anemia. What's the future look like?
Well, hemolytic anemia is very treatable. It comes in several different flavors. You know, it can be caused from a drug you took, an infection you were exposed to. Sometimes we have no idea why it happens, but it is treatable. So you'll probably be on, depending what type of hemolytic anemia, you'll probably be on several weeks of therapy to kind of shut off your immune system and reboot everything and get your red blood cells back up to normal. Some patients do need red blood cell transfusions to support them through it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. So, some decent news there for Dan. Let's go to Orville in Madison next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a note of optimism. I have a niece in New York City who about 5 years ago came down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she had surgery and chemotherapy and wasn't doing well. So I called the Carbone Center, and the hematology oncologist told me to get her to Sloan Kettering. So we got her Sloan Kettering, and they took bone marrow stem cells and cultured them and reintroduced them in her. And she had been well for 5 years now.
Well, that's
that wonderful.
Is good news, Orville. Thank you so much for calling. Is that the kind of result that you hope to get every time? Obviously, it's what you hope to get, but how often does that happen?
Yeah, I mean that's great. I mean that's something we see about half the time, where the bone marrow stem cells can do the trick. But you know, hopefully, the 5 years is pretty good. I'd call that a cure. But if it were to ever come back, CAR T cell would be a great option for that patient.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Let's take some more calls. You can join in. We still open line, get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. On to Bill in Watertown next. Bill, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I was just wondering if the doctor was aware
that Dr. John Hansen at the Lombardi Clinic in Milwaukee, oncologist, was experimenting with T cells 30 years ago?
No, I had not heard of that.
Yeah, he was treating my brother-in-law with T-cell therapy, which, of course, was experimental at the time. But he did quite a bit of research on all different things at that time. But he was working with T-cells with my brother-in-law at the time. And it was a terrible therapy at the time, but it did extend his life for some period of time, and he was treating him for melanoma.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Well, so it goes back 30 years at least.
It certainly does. 30 years ago, what they were doing was they would take a biopsy of your melanoma, and inside of the biopsy, there would be a few T cells there. Now, they didn't have the capability to genetically manipulate them, but they did have the ability to isolate these few cells, and then from those few cells, they would grow them for months.
Oh.
That's called TIL therapy, tumor-infiltrating lymphocyte, still used today. It obviously was very expensive, cumbersome. I think it's really neat to hear that Dr. Hansen in Milwaukee was, right on the cutting edge with that stuff, because for some patients, as was mentioned, it could buy you time.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, thank you. I appreciate that bit of history and information. And we'll take another call. Chris in Oshkosh up next. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I had a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma when I was younger. It's pretty much, I guess it would be like a cure. It's been way over 5 years. But I just remember some of the side effects that were told to me. The long-term side effects would be for, like, breathing issues, possibly. I remember the drug was vincristine. I just had a small amount, but I remember that they told me that there could be, even up to 10 years, some long-term side effects. And I was just wondering, curious about how I would know if it would be, like, really apparent that I would be experiencing any type of really long-term side effects that might go with some of the chemotherapies from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Chris, that's a great question. You're right. Some of the therapies have some long-term side effects. The best thing you can do is make sure you go for your annual checkup with your primary care physician and to mention that you were treated for cancer. And then based on the drugs that you got, they can try and, screen and hopefully catch problems early on. Vincristine, in particular, doesn't really have anything long-term, this far out, but other drugs certainly do. They can affect, for example, your heart function, and so getting your heart examined every year very closely with an echocardiogram is recommended. Some affect fertility, and depending on the drug, there's other organs that can be impacted as well. So, stick with your annual checkups. And if your doctor's not sure, they can always reach out to us and we can, sort of coach them on what to look for.
Yeah. There we go. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And let's go to Dan in Milwaukee next. Dan, hello to you.
Good morning. I'm 79 years old and I've just been diagnosed with hemolytic anemia. What's the future look like?
Well, Dan, hemolytic anemia is very treatable, and it's basically going to be several weeks to months of treatment, often steroids, and we support patients with red blood cell transfusions, but it's very treatable.
So it's something that, the hope is not lost in a situation like that, for sure.
No, definitely not. This is something that we have a lot of experience with, and he should do okay.
All right. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. We have more callers online. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Besides the CAR T cell therapy, what other areas of research are being pursued?
Yeah, so at UW, we're really interested in using the immune system to help fight cancer. And we have ongoing trials in bone marrow transplant, trying to make them safer and more effective. We're also isolating other cells besides T cells called natural killer cells, which are in all of our blood but at a much lower proportion than T cells, and growing them into high numbers and giving them to patients with cancer. And we're also using antibody therapies that are targeted against the cancer as well as against the immune system. And so we have a whole sort of bag of tricks now that we didn't have even 5 years ago to really go after these cancers that in the past had really no good options.
And so, from that bag of tricks, depending on a person's situation, you might choose one over the other.
That's right. For a long time in this field, a lot of these ideas, we didn't have the technology to really scale it up from preclinical studies in animals, into patients. And now the technology's gotten to the point that we can do this, what I call personalized medicine.
It's really cool. And as I think about it, I wonder, I'm not going to be around 50 years from now, but even 50 years from now, what changes we could not even possibly imagine are out there.
I can tell you, forget 50 years, even in 5 years, we're at a point where we can genetically sequence, tumors. We can genetically sequence people at a very affordable price. I think right now the cost is approaching $1,000, which in healthcare dollars is not much. It's almost at the point that people can pay out of pocket. And the advantage of that is the hope is that we can find mutations that you can take drugs and then target them. And so University of Wisconsin is supported by the state, actually, to do a molecular tumor board, meaning look at the molecular characteristics of your genetically sequenced tumor and then have experts in the room who can identify those mutations and then pick out drugs that are already in clinical trial or FDA approved and say, hey, you don't have any options, but this might work for your cancer.
Wow, amazing. Kathy in Heartland, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you. My husband had non-Hodgkin's large B-cell lymphoma 12 years ago, and he received CHOP. He did not have a bone marrow transplant. And somewhere along the line, someone had told me that that can redevelop years later as a slower form of lymphoma. I was wondering if that is the case, and if so, how would I monitor for that?
Well, just getting chemotherapy, and first, congrats for being 12 years in remission. That's great. Just getting chemotherapy, unfortunately, puts you at risk of developing cancer later in life because the problem with chemo is that it causes damage to our DNA as well as the tumor's DNA. And so once our DNA is damaged, it has trouble fighting back the development of cancer. The best way to screen for that is to take him, to the doctor every year and to make sure he gets a thorough head-to-toe physical exam. And, if he can get his blood counts checked out, they'll be able to screen and see if he develops any secondary leukemia. They can feel his lymph nodes and see if the lymphoma is coming back.
Yeah, there we go. Good luck, Kathy. Thank you so much for calling. Tom in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What can we do for you today?
Well, I'm a 76-year-old gentleman, and in 2010, I had a mantle cell lymphoma. It was in stage 4, and I was treated for that with the chemo, and that went fine. It went into remission. I ended up getting prostate cancer shortly after that, but that was taken care of with radiation. And then my lymphoma came back in around 2016. And I was taken care of there with because it was a tumor and some lymph nodes, and I did that with radiation. So here it is. Two times I've gotten a lymphoma to come back, and I'm just wondering whether this T-cell, treatment might have some benefit in my case.
Yeah, absolutely. The key thing is that the T-cell therapy targets a certain molecule called CD19, And I think the best thing to do would be to see if your lymphoma expresses this target, CD19. And if it does, to then, you know, move forward and see if this is an option for you.
Okay.
And how would he, go to his normal physician for that?
He should have a primary oncologist in the community, and they should be able to order that test to see if they're CD19. It's a routine test.
Okay. Yeah.
I go this Thursday, and for my last CAT scan, and that's because I haven't had any signs of the chemo for 2 years, so the insurance doesn't pay for it after that. They pay for it only if you have signs of a tumor or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Insurance is always an issue, isn't it? But that test could be run while he's there, perhaps.
That's right.
So it's something to... And what was the test again? It was a
CD19.
CD19 test, something that could be requested at that time when you're there, Tom.
I will do that.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let me know how that turns out. Susie in Presque Isle, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thanks, first of all, for taking calls from all of us old people when you're a pediatric specialist. I'm 67 and was diagnosed with CLL, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, small cell lymphoma in August. And I'm on a watch and wait program. Do you suggest a second opinion, or is that low grade enough? I know all lymphomas are different, but I don't want to watch and wait till I die.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Susie, even though I'm in pediatrics, I can tell you have a lot of youthful spunk. So
yeah.
Thank you. You know, it is one of those cancers that sort of smolders, It can be monitored with a watch and wait, but, you know, I always tell all of my patients, if there's any question, it never hurts to get a second and sometimes a third opinion. Another option, though, if you don't want to go through that or bother with insurance, you know, the federal government does have support for patients in this situation. On the National Cancer Institute, they offer a free service where they will kind of answer these type of questions. And most of the time, they'll come back and say, your doc's doing the right thing. But sometimes they'll say, you know, you need to, you know, consider care somewhere else. So if you dial 1-800-4-CANCER, that's a free hotline. I used to staff it. I did my fellowship at the NIH. And we take these questions all the time. We review your case. Sometimes we issue a second opinion. But that could be an option for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. So it's 1-800-4-CANCER.
4-CANCER.
There we go. Well, what about other diseases? You know, this research is really interesting to me, and it sounds, well, not only promising, but we're getting some good results. Are there other diseases that could benefit from this research?
That's a wonderful question. I think the big elephant in the room are solid tumors. That includes, you know, brain cancer, lung cancer, ovarian, pancreatic. These are the ones that, you know, for a long time have been really difficult to treat. And there are some drugs that have come out in recent years, but nothing that's had the excitement of the CAR T cells. And, you know, so far nobody's really cracked that nut. Solid tumors, unlike leukemia and lymphomas, come with their own unique set of challenges. Mainly they're three-dimensional. And they are hostile environments that when the T cell makes it to the tumor, there are all kinds of mechanisms put in place to shut those T cells down. And so the field is really trying different strategies to overcome those barriers.
Wow, it's seems like a never-ending battle, doesn't it?
That's right.
I'm telling you. Well, we haven't talked a lot because we've had... more elderly patients calling us today about your work with young people. Must be tough at times to work with young people, but also can be very rewarding. Talk a bit about that.
Absolutely. It's a really special field to be a part of. First of all, as you mentioned, you know, the patients are wonderful. We see everyone from newborns all the way up to 21. And it's a huge range of diagnoses. So unlike an adult cancer where you sort of specialize in one type of cancer, we kind of do it all because they're all rare in kids. And our outcomes in general are pretty good. If you took all pediatric cancers and just looked at the survival rates, it's about 80%.
Wow.
So we've done really well. And the secret there is really in how the field approaches treating these kids compared to all the other specialties in medicine. What happened a long time ago was we decided that because these cancers are so rare, we can't have each hospital treating it their own way. You can't have Madison doing it different from Milwaukee. So they formed a consortium in North America, parts of New Zealand and Europe, called the Children's Oncology Group, or COG. And they said, you know, how one kid walks into one hospital is going to be treated exactly the same as in the other hospital. And we're going to pool all of our information together. And that when a new treatment comes out, we're all going to treat it the same way. And we're going to have two groups, you know, one group that gets it the old way and one group that gets it the new way. And then we all can compare. That over the last 50 years has really been responsible for this very high response rate that we've seen.
Wow. And this, you mentioned infants. I mean, do we actually have cancer in infants?
Yes. I've had both the privilege and also, of course, the stress of, you know, these new ultrasounds that they do. They can really, these high resolution ultrasounds, they can pick up, you know, tumors that develop in utero. And so I've had patients who had cancer in their abdomen that we saw on an ultrasound prenatal. The baby's delivered, and because we know about it, we can act on it right away. And fortunately, you know, that baby did really well with just removing it. But it's great to be able to pick these things up as soon as possible, rather than, you know, in the past, this kid probably would have had a normal childhood for a few months and then gotten very sick, and it may have been very advanced cancer.
Boy, boy, oh boy. Well, it's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Are there things that people, where can people go to learn more about this treatment and about all the treatments that are out there for lymphoma?
Yeah. So on uwhealth.org and on the American Family Children's Hospital website, which is uwhealthkids.org, we have information on CAR T-cell therapy and other immunotherapies that are offered at UW. There's also great information on the National Cancer Institute's website, which is cancer.gov. And there you can select whatever cancer you have and by alphabetical list and then decide what treatments you want to learn about. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society has great resources, both about the cancer as well as resources in the community for support.
Well, this has been wonderful, Dr. Capitini. I want to thank you so much, and I hope you can come back and talk again about this, and hopefully we'll have even more. I mean, these are pretty positive things here, but hopefully they'll be even more positive the next time around.
Absolutely, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Christian Capitini, physician with UW Health, board certified in pediatric hematology oncology, and an assistant professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Great to have him with us, and great to have you listening. And thanks so much for joining us. Stay with us. Lots more in store.